Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking to you from the corridor in the courthouse. In just a few moments, we'll enter the courtroom for today's case of Order in the Court.
Tell the jury your name, please.
James Evans.
And your business?
Vice president of an advertising agency.
I see. Will you tell the jury your problem?
Thank you. To give you a brief summary of my life, I was one of five children in my family. And I think I can honestly say it was a happy family. We didn't have very much money, but we did seem to really love one another and to love our home and our home life together. I went to college and partially worked my way through. In my senior year, I fell in love. Very deeply, very sincerely, very honestly in love. I asked the girl to marry me. She finally said she would as soon as I graduated and had found a job. Well, I'd always hoped someday to be a writer, and so after commencement, I went to New York and fortunately landed a small position with a publishing firm. Helen came on to New York, and we were married. Moved into a small apartment. Of course, my ideas of marriage and a home envisaged something similar to the home in which I'd been reared, and something of the happiness of that marriage, the relationships that existed between the members of that family. Well, I quickly realized my wife held somewhat different ideas. I think you'll understand when I say that our home wasn't a home. Our marriage, to me at any rate, was not fully a marriage. I won't say that Helen didn't love me. Well, she used the word fear. At the end of 2 years, the situation had become rather intolerable, and I went to my doctor for advice. All right, doctor, but why does she say she's afraid?
My boy, that is one of the greatest hoaxes that women have ever inflicted. Do you think I haven't seen hundreds of children brought into the world? Brought hundreds into the world myself? Do you think I haven't seen on hundreds of women's faces and in their eyes that expression, that look that speaks only one emotion, pride. Pride of fulfillment. You've seen it in a man's face, I expect, when he's accomplished a difficult piece of work, when he's suffered and sweated and fought the opposition of men in nature, agonized and been tortured and then finally won.
Well, you may be right, Doctor. But after all, women do die sometimes.
Jim, in all my years as a doctor, I've seen only one woman go like that. And, well, she knew she was going. And her last words were to me. She turned to me and said, "It doesn't matter about me, but don't let my baby die." Lord. At least that woman had accomplished something in her life. She'd had the happiness of fulfillment. You might be interested to know, Jim, that that child was my son. He lived, yes, for 19 years. He was killed in a so-called civilized battle in France. So, Jim, you see, there's absolutely no reason for you and your wife not to fulfill your lives. Persuade her that her fears are groundless. This coldness you spoke of, it'll disappear, I think. Children give women new directions. Natural directions. The right directions.
Well, of course, that's what I believe, Doctor. That's what I expected. That's what I wanted. I know that my mother was never afraid. I know that my mother loved my father. It was a beautiful love.
I'm sure it was.
And when Helen... Well, when she... Well, Doctor, it's two people living two distinct, separate lives.
I know, I know. You aren't the only person who's discovered that marriage and what we term romance are not, as we're too often led to believe, one and the same thing. Did you and your wife ever discuss the rather important subject of children before you were married?
No, sir.
know. And so few people do. A young man and a young woman devote hours planning for a ceremony. And not a second to the consideration of the responsibilities they're accepting as parents of the world in its millions of years to come. Wasn't that your case?
Yes, sir, it was.
You probably blushed when someone said, "May all your troubles be little ones."
Yes, sir.
And so you were married. Then you realized you'd planned all right how your home was to be furnished, but not the more important subject, how it was to be filled.
Oh, you're right, Doctor.
Well, don't be discouraged, my boy. We're learning. Go home and talk to your wife. Tell her your romance is just beginning. Tell her you've decided that together you're going to have a child.
Want to listen to that pipe organ music, darling? Why don't you turn the radio off? Or is there anything good on tonight?
Let's leave it on, Helen, if you don't mind.
All right, darling, if you want it. Put another stick of wood on the fire, please, Jim. It's getting a little chilly in here.
All right, Helen.
Thanks, darling.
Are you so terribly sleepy, Helen? Stay awake a little while. I want to talk to you.
What about?
Well, come on down here and sit with me on the floor, darling. You know, like we were sitting at the Bader house the night you said you'd marry me.
Oh, it's so comfy here, darling.
You haven't forgotten that night, have you?
No, Jim.
You remember the fire in the fireplace that night, don't you?
Yes, Jim.
It's kind of sappy the way I was so afraid. So much in love with you that I was afraid you didn't love me.
It was sweet, Jim.
I guess I hardly looked at you. I was afraid, Helen, and now here you are, my wife. You and I married.
Yes.
Helen, do you realize we've been married almost 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not making as much money as I expected to by now, but I'm making enough so that we can afford a baby now, Helen. I think it's time we had one, don't you? I so hope it'll look like you, darling. If you want a girl, that's all right with me. I'd kind of like a boy, but oh, just so it's ours. Darling, there isn't anything to be afraid of. And well, don't you see, it'd be another romance for us. The biggest romance there is, I guess. To go on like this, don't you see? We aren't doing our part, our share. And we want to, don't we? There are millions of years yet for the world to go on. And we can't stay here for them, except through the children we give to that world. You aren't selfish. And I don't think I am. Let's not be selfish, sweetheart. Helen, I love you so much, and well, that's the way it should be. Helen. Helen. Oh, you didn't hear anything I said. Is that all it means? That you can go to sleep? All right. Oh, Helen.
Oh, what's that, Jim? Jim, there's someone at the door.
It's the phone, dear. I'll answer it.
Oh.
Hello? Oh, hello, Marty. Well, I'll ask Helen. We'd sort of planned on hitting that hay early tonight and catching up on our rest. In just a moment, I'll ask.
Where does Marty want to go, Jim?
He wants us to go downtown and join him at the cotton club.
Oh, swell.
No, we're not going, Helen.
But, Jim,
we're staying home tonight.
But a chance like that, and it won't cost us anything.
We're staying home.
Jim, I want...
Stop it, Helen. Hello, Marty. It's awfully nice of you, old man, but we can't go. Helen's awfully tired tonight, and, well, to tell the truth, so am I.
That's not true, Jim.
Some other time, old man? Yes.
Jim!
Sure, sometime next week. Swell. Good night, Marty.
Why did you do that, Jim?
We're staying home tonight, darling.
Oh, yes?
You're tired. You fell asleep in the chair.
I did not.
Yes, you did. I was talking to you. You didn't hear a word I said.
I most certainly did.
Well, what did I say?
Well, you said something about... well, about how lovely it was when we decided to be married.
And what else?
Well, then you... oh, you started in on politics like you always do.
Yeah?
You see, I wasn't asleep, Jim.
No. Then maybe you heard me tell you we're going to have a baby.
Why, that's marvelous, Jim. See, there's something you can write. Do a blackout for the Follies. The husband says, I'm going to have a baby. Why, there's marvelous possibilities.
Very well, I'll put it like this. We're going to have a baby. You and I, Helen.
Oh, yes?
It's time we did.
Jim, I won't. I won't, I'm afraid.
No, you're not. That's just an alibi.
Is it? You want me to die, I suppose.
Helen, I want you to live.
Oh, stop it, Jim, stop it. Call Marty back. Tell him we'll meet him.
Listen, Helen. This place here, this thing we call a home, this isn't a home.
I've got a license to prove it here.
You may have a license, but I haven't.
Jim.
You say you're afraid. Is that true, Helen?
Oh, yes, yes, it is true.
I talked to Dr. Ross today. He says you've got nothing to be afraid of.
So you go talk to him about me, do you?
Oh, Helen.
All right, I don't want a baby. I've never wanted one. I don't want to be tied down. I want to go places and do things.
I see. And yet you've always said when I wanted you to go out before that you didn't want to.
That's because I didn't have any clothes to wear.
All right, that's my fault, I suppose, but skip it. Helen, what honestly do you want more than anything else in the world?
You.
Oh, no, you don't. Is it money?
All right, yes, yes, it is money. All my life I've wanted money. Long ago I decided one might just as well be dead as poor. Yes, sure, I want money. Lots of it. Loads and loads of it. More than you'll ever have.
I see. Helen, if that's the answer, if that's the reason, I'll get more money. I'll get more money.
How's this table, Tom?
Okay. What was that man you just spoke to?
Oh, over there in the corner?
Mm-hmm.
That's Jim Evans. He's the one who put over that new advertising campaign for Associated Tobacco.
Hmm. Pretty smart, all right.
You said it. Used to be with some publishing house. Then he got into the advertising business about 2 years ago. Since then, he's been going places in a big way. I understand he's to be made a vice president of his firm before long. Well, what are you going to eat? We'd better order, I guess.
All right, Jim, what is this big news you said you had for me?
Darling, they made me a vice president today.
Oh, how much more salary would that be?
Another $5,000 a year.
A vice president and only a $5,000 raise?
Well, there'll be more later.
Now, not if you don't insist on more now, there won't be.
Well, now, that isn't the point, darling. I'll take care of that. The point is that 2 years ago, I told you I'd make more money. Well, I have.
Yes, I know you have, Jim.
We've got this house up here. We've got it nicely furnished, thanks to your good taste. Now, how about our filling this house?
Oh, Jim.
I've done what I said I'd do.
Yes, I know you have, Jim, but I...
You said you wanted money. Well, you've got it. Now, certainly, there's no reason why we can't go ahead and...
Oh, Jim, I'm afraid. I can't help it.
I don't believe you, Helen.
All right, then, I'm a liar.
There's no reason for you to be afraid.
But I tell you, there is. Oh, Jim, we're happy as we are. We've got our lives to live. Oh, no, Jim. No, no, please.
Dinner is served, Mrs. Evans.
All right, Anne.
So I've come to you again for advice, Doctor.
Hmm. Well, Jim, I don't want to say anything unkind about your wife, but, well, there are women like that in the world.
You still say it isn't fair.
Do you honestly think it is?
Oh, I don't know what to think.
Well, there is often another reason. I won't say that it's your wife's reason, but There is such a thing in the world as selfishness.
Oh, no, I can't believe that at heart Helen's selfish, Doctor.
All right. Let's accept the fact, then, that it's an honest fear. Well, there are more ways than one to skin a cat.
What do you mean?
You and your wife could adopt a child.
Hmm.
Certainly any fears to be encountered in that process of becoming a parent aren't exactly physical. Why don't you suggest it to her?
Do you think Helen would... Well, I mean, does a woman ever love an adopted child as much as she would one of her own?
Of course they do. Most of the business of parenthood, Jim, goes on after birth, not before. Women should have babies to take care of, whether they're their own or someone's else. Keeps them busy, if they take the proper care of them. Chances are that after your wife sees how dependent that child is on her, she'll love him just as much as she would one of her own. Might change her whole outlook. She might even want a dozen more. At any rate, it's worth a trial, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, I expect you're right, Doctor. I think it is.
Well, if she's agreeable, just let me know and I'll put you in touch with a place where I'm sure you'll be able to find just what you want. I'd advise, however, a pretty young one. Just let me know, Jim.
Will you get me Dr. Ross on the phone, please, Miss Martin? The number's Susquehanna 28031.
Yes, Mr. Evans. Susquehanna 28031. I'd like to speak to Dr. Ross, please. Just a moment, Mr. Evans calling.
Thank you. Hello, Doctor. Jim Evans, yes. I'd like the name and address of that place we were talking about the other day. Right. Well, I think, Mrs. Bailey, that my wife and I would like to take him.
I see.
Of course, we'd like to know more about him first.
Well, as you've seen for yourself, Mrs. Evans, he's an exceedingly healthy child. As to his parents, I was very greatly impressed with his mother. It was she who brought him here. She's a very refined young woman, a graduate nurse here in the city.
And the father?
She wouldn't tell us, Mrs. Evans. Ordinarily, we wouldn't have accepted the child under those circumstances. But in this instance, we made an exception. All the mother would tell us was, quite frankly, that he was a surgeon, a very prominent one. And according to the woman, he doesn't know there is a child. The woman was very frank. She said she loved this man and didn't want to make him unhappy. Now, of course, if that makes any difference to you...
Well, I don't see why it should. Do you, dear?
No, I suppose not, Jim.
To be quite truthful with you, I couldn't help but admire the woman. She was very honest, very frank about the whole matter.
All right, Mrs. Bailey. We'll take Paul. And we'll arrange to come and get him tomorrow.
Well, I feel sure that you won't be making a mistake. And I wish both of you, as well as Paul, much happiness.
Thank you. Well, shall we go, dear?
Yes, Jim. Goodbye, Mrs. Bailey.
A good day.
That baby crying again. Jim! Jim, wake up!
Yes, dear?
Oh, I must have forgot to set the alarm. Jim, will you get up and give him his bottle this time?
Yes, all right, dear. Sure, you go on back to sleep.
Thanks. Gee, it certainly will be a relief when he gets older.
Right, yes, we can afford another servant, Helen. Oh, just now, having lost two accounts here lately. But, oh, well, that isn't the point, darling. Why do you want a nurse for him?
So that I won't have to stay everlastingly at home.
You don't stay everlastingly at home.
No? You say you don't like me to leave him with Anna.
All right. Get the nurse if you want to. But it seems to me he's getting to the age now when he should be with you more. So he'll know you and love you.
Oh, children don't remember anything until they're at least 5 years old, Jim.
Yes, they do. I mean, they must.
Oh, well, let's not argue about it. A nurse can take much better care of Paul than I can. And after all, I've stayed home pretty close this last year. Missed any number of parties and teas and theaters and things like
that. It hasn't hurt you, darling.
No, I suppose you don't think so.
Oh, Helen, You do love him, don't you?
Oh, yes, of course I do, Jim. But I don't want to be tied down to him all the time. It isn't fair to him in the first place. Children shouldn't be tied to their mother's apron string.
And how long's it been since you wore an apron?
Oh, well, you know what I mean. And I'll tell you something else, darling. You keep on telling me that I'm not a businesswoman, that I don't know anything about business. But I know this much. I know you'd be making more money, you wouldn't be losing accounts, if you'd stop thinking of Paul all the time and start thinking more of your work.
Oh, that's nonsense.
Well, you would. The way you hurry home from the office. Well, you didn't used to do that.
It isn't Paul that's making the difference.
No. I suppose it's me.
No, I didn't say that either. Oh, Helen, let's not quarrel. I told you to go ahead and get a nurse. Now, let's say no more about it.
It's perfectly agreeable to me, darling.
So you want me to tell you a story, do you, Paul?
Please, Daddy.
Well, come on up here on my lap.
What a big boy you're getting to be.
Have to do something about that. There we are now. What kind of a story would you like?
Any kind.
All right, let's see. Once upon a time, there was a little...
Nurse has your supper ready for you, Paul. Come along.
Well, Daddy's going to tell me a story.
No, now, some other time he can tell you a story. Come along.
Yes, I guess you'll have to run along, Sonny.
But I'm not hungry.
You eat everything that's on your plate, you understand?
Oh, dear, that boy.
Where have you been all day?
Margaret, we were playing bridge out at the club.
I see.
Say, Margaret was telling me about a perfectly wonderful school today, Jim.
Oh?
It's one of those kindergarten things, you know. What would you think of sending Paul there, Jim?
Oh, he isn't ready to go to school yet. All he needs now is to play and keep strong and healthy.
Oh, but they take marvelous care of the children at this school, Margaret says. And they make learning a sort of a game. And the tuition is really awfully cheap. It's up near Waterbury somewhere.
Up near... You mean a boarding school?
Yes, of course, darling. It'd be a wonderful thing for him. Give him other children to play with and make him, you know, self-reliant. We could drive up weekends to see him.
Oh, no, Helen. Now, Paul go to school when it's time to go to school, and he'll go somewhere near here. We're not shifting our responsibility onto someone else.
No?
No.
All right, Jim. You love responsibility, don't you?
I love Paul. I wish you did.
How do you think I ever could? He isn't mine, he isn't yours. I'm going up to my room.
And she took the suitcase and went away.
A suitcase, Paul?
Yes, sir.
Anna. Anna!
I didn't hear you come in, Mr. Evans.
Where's Mrs. Evans, Anna? Paul said she took her suitcase and went away.
Yes, sir, she did. She asked me to give you this note.
Oh. Oh, thanks. You can go on back.
Yes, sir.
Tell me a story, Daddy.
Oh. Oh.
What's the matter, Daddy? Daddy.
The mother's gone away, son. She isn't coming back.
Don't you go away, Daddy. Daddy, come back.
Yes. Yes, son. Oh, come here, boy. Paul. Oh, Paul.
Daddy, please. What's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing except what's to become of us. My problem, Your Honor. Helen left me. That was 3 weeks ago.
You've heard from her since?
Yes, I saw her in her lawyer's office. She wants a divorce.
And you?
What difference does it make? That isn't important. My problem's Paul. Helen says she'll never come back, that she never loved me, and that she'd never love Paul. All right. What am I going to do with him? Would it be fair to keep him? Turn him over to servants? That doesn't seem fair to him. Yet I hate to give him to someone else. What is the court's advice, Your Honor?
Well, Mr. Evans, this is indeed an unfortunate situation. I'm going to risk an opinion that I'm not sure will be popular. I'm going to advise you to keep the boy. I think he needs a love like yours. I'm going to hope that someday, and that someday soon, you'll meet a woman who loves him as much as you do, and who at the same time loves you.
We are once again talking to you from the corridor as the courtroom is emptying. We hope that you will join with us again when we return for the next session of Order in the Court.